Mark chapter 15 at verse 42. It was preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Or as we have it in the authorized version, when the evening was come, because it was a preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, who also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea alone are singled out for mention in the Gospel from what must have been a great company of secret disciples. And we can learn from this that our Lord has friends of whom very little is known. We're not told of how they learned to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and of how they came to honor him. Nothing else is recorded in the scriptures of Joseph of Arimathea, except what we are told here. He was a good man. He was one who waited for the kingdom of God. He was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews. And at this time, all others had forsaken the Lord and fled. The disciples were in hiding at this hour when Joseph of Arimathea boldly came forward and stood out on the Lord's side. And this should be a matter of encouragement for ourselves. For there are times when we are discouraged, when we feel that there are so few witnesses to the Lord Jesus. Remember how the psalmist said, "The floods of ungodly men have made me afraid." But you remember when Elijah, the great prophet of God, was in hiding, when he was afraid of the threats of Queen Jezebel, when God asked him how he was cast down, he said, "I only am left of all thy servants, and they seek my life to take it away." And God answered him, "I have 7,000 men in Israel who have never bowed the knee to Baal." Now, friends, as we meditate on our text this evening, we would like to think, first of all, of Joseph of Arimathea. We see Joseph as our example in witness bearing. It was indeed a dark day for the Church of Christ. Our Lord had warned his disciples, "Ye shall be scattered, every man to his own." And now the Lord Jesus was dead on the cross. And his enemies thought that this was the end of him. And his friends feared that it was even so. And there around the cross were a few faithful women But what could they do? How could they obtain the sacred body? Now the fate which usually awaited those who were crucified was for their bodies to be hurled into the first grave that could shelter them. It was indeed a perilous moment when Joseph of Arimathea, of whom we have never heard before, and of whom we never hear again, appears in the gospel record. Joseph made his appearance, and he was the very man for the occasion. He was a man of influence, of the kind of influence that was needed with Pilate, an honorable counselor, yes, one who was held in high esteem by the people. It's not just any man that can go up to the door at 10 Downing Street and have an audience with the Prime Minister. But that was the kind of influence that Joseph of Arimathea had with Pilate. He was a rich man, an honorable counselor, a member of the Jewish Supreme Court, a person of weight and character. And all told, he was a good man. He was a just man. He was a disciple who waited for the kingdom of God. And the word tells us he was a disciple secretly. It seems he was of a retiring nature, that he was timid. But now he goes boldly into the governor and requests and obtains the body of Jesus. God will never leave himself without witnesses. Do you remember when our Lord rode into Jerusalem and the little children cried their hosannas and his adversaries sought to silence them? He said, "I tell you, if these should hold their peace, the very stones would immediately cry out." Our Lord, says one translation, reigns from the tree. He reigns from the tree. Even when he hangs upon the cross in death, he still keeps possession of the throne. "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." And in days of spiritual darkness, the Lord lives. He keeps us seed alive upon the earth. Spurgeon said, "There was a Joseph for Israel in Egypt, and a Joseph for Christ on the cross. A Joseph acted a father's part at his birth, and another Joseph arranged his burial." Our Lord will never be left without friends. Now Joseph of Arimathea, by natural disposition, was of a retiring nature. He was a man of a retiring nature. Some people are too bold, too much so, self-assertive, and we say of them that they would rush in where angels fear to tread. They're fearless and thoughtless. But others are too retiring. They need to screw up their courage to say a word, a good word for the Savior whom they love. Joseph was true-hearted, although he was timid. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? And then Joseph was a rich man. And you remember how our Lord said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? The fishermen of Galilee readily left their nets and their boats to follow Jesus. But Joseph was slow to leave all. He was a man of great possession. In the past, strong swimmers have saved their lives in shipwreck by casting aside every weight, while others have drowned because they tied the gold nuggets around their waists. And then you see, friend, there is the pride of life. The pride of life. By nature, men desire position, and the love of money often holds men back from the service of the Lord. For riches puff men up. They prevent us from stooping down for the pearl of great price. Joseph was in office, and he was held in honor by the people. And it needs great grace to carry human honor, for we are inclined to seek the favor of men rather than the praises of God. Ah, but friend, to hear these words, well done, from the Master's lips, is worth all the applause of men, all the honors of the world. Ah, yes, Joseph was a disciple, but secretly. He did not confess his faith for fear of men. Joseph would be in the fashion. He knew that openly siding with Christ, he would receive the cold shoulder. He would have the finger of scorn pointed at him. He was a disciple, but secretly, for fear of the Jews. A disciple, but secretly. Ah, if all God's people were like this, where would be the witness to the truth? Joseph lost by his secrecy. He did not live continually in the company of the Lord Jesus like others. He followed him afar off. Ah, there is a call to be out and out on the side of Christ, to be openly on his side, to be unashamed to confess him in all companies. Rise up, O men of God, have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. But then, friends, we would see in these words his touching request. His touching request. He went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Joseph came out on Christ's side after all. He stood out for the Master in that day of derision and reproach. Ah, my friend, there is the power of the cross. The power of the cross. For all of the life of Christ did not bring Joseph forward. His miracles, his teaching, his life of holiness. Ah, yes, Joseph had a secret faith. But it was that shameful death of Calvary that had more power over Joseph than all the beauty of the life of Christ. He was a just man. He could not consent to their wicked deed. And he must now openly side with the holy and the just one. Probably both he and Nicodemus withdrew from the council when they saw how these wicked men plotted against the life of the Lord Jesus. Now he is a willing servant of the Master. Oh, it was late. It was sadly late. But it was not too late. He was quiet and retiring, but he made his stand in that evil day. He stood out on the side of Christ amidst his enemies. Ah, yes, he was shocked by the evil conduct of wicked men. He openly sided with Christ for the Lord's cause. Is the cause of truth and righteousness, of mercy, of hope for mankind. Ah, yes, Joseph came to realize that Christ is worthy of all honor, and he scorned to be any more hidden, to be regarded as not one of his. Ah, yes. Now he is not slow to own his Savior and his Lord. He went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Ah, the power of the cross. He had witnessed our Lord's patience in death. He had heard that pathetic plea on behalf of his enemies. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had seen Jesus being led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The sun was darkened. The sun refused to shine upon that awful deed. Yes, the earth was convulsed as mankind disowned its creator. He was a just man, an honorable man. And there was another there, another who was influenced by the power of the cross, the Roman centurion, the army officer in charge of the crucifixion. He said, truly this man was the Son of God. But then, friends, also in our text, we see Joseph as our example. Joseph, our example. Joseph appeared just at the crucial time when action was necessary. And he gave the king a royal burial. We're told that with Nicodemus he brought spices of myrrh and aloes. He brought the anointing oil with which The kings were anointed at the time of their coronation, or their bodies were buried with at burial. Ah, yes, Joseph did what no other could have done. Providence had raised him up at the exact moment of need. We're told that he buried our Lord in his own new tomb, his own new tomb. Ah, surely, friend, surely there's a word of encouragement, of inspiration for us in the action of this secret disciple. He went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Ah, we may say, but surely there is no such compunction for us, for he is no longer on the cross. Ah, but there is another stern necessity. Remember what our Lord said to the disciples when he commanded them to loose the colt and to bring it to him. The Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath need of him. We are conscious, friend, that the enemy is coming in like a flood. We're well aware of it. In the media, every day, we find atheism bold and noisy. We see wicked men using the media to poison the minds of our young people. And sometimes there are those who deny the gospel, and they're commended even by so-called ministers of the gospel. Those who would set aside the Bible, who would blot out the spiritual. And how often this is done on the plea of charity. The Lord's Day can be trampled underfoot, and the plea is made that whatever money is gained from marathons and other sports activities is donated to charity. But the law of God was the friend of man before any political party took up his cause. And of course, we are expected to bow to the spirit of the age. But our God is a spirit. As our catechism says, unchanging in his being, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. Joseph is our example, the secret disciple. He heard the call. He came out. And friend, if we have never come out and we love the Lord Jesus, oh, surely if ever there was a time when we should stand boldly on his side, that time is now. And Joseph made his stand when all others had fled. Where was brave Peter? Where was the loving John? Where were those who made such profession? In that terrible hour, the secret disciple came forward and he rendered a service to his Lord that no other could possibly have done. They all departed from him. They all fled. And in that hour, the timid man grew brave. He went in boldly unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Ah, yes, friend, and we too may feel that the spiritual seems to be in decline. But then there is a call to us to witness and to stand out clearly on the Lord's side. Joseph was a man of culture. He took up the cross and identified himself openly with his Lord. All Jerusalem would know what he was, that he was a lover of Christ, that he was a servant of the Master. And in this action, Joseph was going to endure ceremonial pollution. Yes, and it was at a great cost. He had provided this sepulchre, for it was the ambition of every Jew to be buried there in Jerusalem, so that when Messiah would come, they would be of those who were the first to meet the Lord. Joseph is our example. Joseph gave his all for Christ. Take my life and let it be dedicated, Lord, to thee. Oh, friend, let us take Joseph as our example. Let us be prepared to throw secrecy to the winds and to come out boldly on the side of Christ, and let all men know whose we are and whom we serve. And yet, friends, there's a sad reflection in the story of Joseph, that he was for so long a secret disciple, that he was of no service to Christ until he died upon the cross. Oh, let us realize the urgency of the hour, the call to witness, and may we have grace that we would be enabled so to live that there would be no question as to whose we are and whom we serve, that it would be evident by our daily walk and conversation, that the world may know that we bear the marks of the Lord Jesus, that we may be of those who confess that they have been bought with a price, even with the precious blood of Christ. And oh, may it be true, friend, of each one of us, that we are of the sheep who hear his voice and follow in his steps. As Matthew Henry quaintly said, the flock of Christ have two marks. They have a mark on the ear, they hear my voice. And they have a mark on the foot. They follow me. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. Oh, may his example be our inspiration, and may we be unashamed to confess our Lord before men. And may he grant us that privilege on the morrow to confess him as our Savior, to express our love to him and our fellowship with his people, that we are of those that love the Lord. May he bless our meditation on his word. Let us pray. O Lord, we give thee thanks for thy precious word. We bless thee, Lord, for the witness of Joseph of Arimathea. And we pray that we would be given grace to stand out openly on the Lord's side. And O grant, Lord, that our lives may be such that it may be evident to all that we have been with Jesus. Help us in sincerity to say with the psalmist, I have set the Lord always before me, therefore I shall not be moved. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt prepare us for the morrow, that thou wilt come up with us to thy house. Oh, draw us nearer thyself. May we enter into a deeper communion with our Lord and with one another. And grant, Lord, that it would be evident in our midst that we are thy disciples. For thou hast said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, Lord, cleanse us from all sin, or take away the things in us that would grieve the Spirit or hinder us from being the means of blessing to others, and make us what thou would have us be, conforming us to the lovely likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom thou shalt have the glory evermore. Amen.